Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this evening that serves as our sermon text is Luke chapter 17, beginning with the 11th verse. On another occasion, as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. When he entered a certain village, 10 men with leprosy met him. Standing at a distance, they called out loudly, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they went away, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus responded, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of our Lord. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Friends in Christ, what do you get when you say thank you? Trick question. You get nothing. You say thank you when you've taken something, when you've received something, maybe with a sense that without the giver, you either would or could or should not have that. Thanks is an acknowledgement of a gift, but I think if you really put your mind to it and think about what Thanksgiving means, it's actually an acknowledgement that you like the relationship that's going on. Wouldn't you agree? To say thank you expresses, I have something, maybe it doesn't belong to me, and yet this is an unpaid debt that's settled. Nothing's expected in return, at least in its truest form. So you know by all rights what you deserve, and you know by all means that you ought to pay the person back. But in the moment, maybe all you have is a word of thank you. And sometimes that just means, I love the chance to be in this person's good company. Well, you're in good company here. On Thanksgiving, our hearts say, although I receive no benefit from saying this, although I don't get anything in return, I want to approach God and take this chance to sum everything up. Everything so baffling that he's put in my life. When God gave and gave and gave to little insignificant me. And I don't know what else to say except 2 words. Thank you. That's what Thanksgiving ought to mean in some way to the Christian. And that's what we see in our lesson today about a man, 1 in 10, who just not only wanted to repay Jesus, but wanted that audience, wanted that chance to be in the company of Jesus and to see where this relationship would go, to see if this connection would be furthered. A man who was there, although without the other 9. That's also important for us to think about. The very question Jesus asked, where are the other 9? What happened to them? To get a little backstory, Jesus was really on this way to Jerusalem, but he was kind of wending his way there from village to village. And when we see him here in verse 11, he's not in Galilee and he's not in Samaria. He's walking along the border. He's neither in this land nor that. And when you're neither in this land nor that, as it turns out, sometimes you happen upon some outliers, some pariahs, in this case, some lepers. And I want to be clear, we're not talking about any ferocious animal in the cat family. That would be leopards. Today we're talking about lepers. Probably we don't talk about either of them a whole lot, but we certainly don't talk about lepers unless we're talking about the Bible, usually, or if someone has some kind of skin disease, because that's what it was. It was a terrible, horrible disease that affected the whole body, that caused your skin and your limbs to get white, that made your flesh deteriorate and flake off. And it wasn't just affecting your whole body, it could affect the whole community, the body of people around you. It was extremely contagious. And so God took certain precautions in his law in Leviticus chapter 14, where he told lepers, you have to be apart, isolated from the community. You don't get to join in all the other practices of worship. You have to be separate. And that's going to be your life now. But God said in Leviticus 14, he made provisions. In case someone is healed, is cured of this disease, you can go and you can find yourself a priest that would serve as sort of the health inspector. The priest would check you out, and if it was true that you had gotten through this disease and it was cured, the priest would say that you have to go to your tent and be on your own for a week. And right away you have to shave off your hair and you have to wash all your clothes and take a bath. After a week you have to do the same thing, shave off your hair, including your eyebrows, wash your clothes, take a bath. And then the next day, if you were still clean, you'd go and offer a sacrifice of two lambs, some olive oil, and flour, just in thanks to God. And then, after those 8 days, you'd be free. You'd be clean. You'd be considered clean among the community and allowed to participate in everything. But the disease, leprosy, was usually considered incurable. So this was a pretty interesting event. These 10 lepers took no risks offending Jesus or any of the disciples. They wanted to follow the law. They stayed at a distance. They shouted and they hollered. And they hollered something that was just really not complicated. Their prayer was really pretty small. It's something like anyone in the church would say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Sounds familiar. We sing that a lot in our services. Jesus, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Now, somehow, they knew Jesus had the power to help them. We don't get a whole lot of the backstory why. Maybe they'd heard Jesus had healed people who couldn't walk, people who were sick. Jesus had done some things that you never see in the Old Testament, like curing the blind. He was raising people from the dead. And for lepers who seemed to have no hope in this disease that was considered incurable, this could be their chance. A lot of ink has been spilled whether these lepers, these 10, actually had saving faith. I'm pretty comfortable assuming that they did. I think they all had saving faith, at least at first. I mean, look at it. They were helpless. Their case was miserable. They all looked to Jesus for help for their incurable disease. And they had confident expectations. Now, they weren't trying to perform works to get Jesus' attention. They didn't do any tricks or try to get his attention or dedicate anything to him. Their prayer was very simple, remember. Lord, have mercy. And even though it may not have been fully formed, they might have had a very foggy, immature faith, the seed had been planted that Jesus was the guy. Jesus was the man. And he has the power to heal. And Jesus has the power to grow faith like that. What we hear in the Bible, as Jesus said in John 6, is that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Paul and Peter and Isaiah all say anyone who places faith in him will not be put to shame. And then Paul writes to Timothy, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So I'm more interested in whether the faith of these lepers took root. More interested in seeing whether they drink from the water of life without end. Because Jesus is merciful, because Jesus delights to hear the prayer, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, have pity on us. Jesus heard them. And Jesus took away that sickness. He healed them. Not just some of them, not just one of them. He healed all 10 of them. And notice he did not say, yes, I will have mercy. Yes, you will be clean. He says simply, show yourselves to the priests. Notice there's some big assumptions built in there. He's basically saying, your faith has already obtained and acquired just what you ask for. You go show yourselves to the health inspectors. We've skipped a couple steps, like the fact that you're healthy. And on the way, what they would discover is, it was true. Their leprosy vanished. And as they looked themselves over, they were fully and entirely healed. And insofar as Jesus was concerned, they were already clean, left to discover that on their way. How powerful faith is. Even when we're weak, faith is not. Even when our limbs are diseased and our hearts fail, faith does not. Martin Luther said about this lesson, faith acquires everything it desires from God. God regarded this healing as accomplished even before it was asked. So goes the saying, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. So only by faith, requests of God are answered. And only by faith, those requests automatically turn into thanksgiving. Here, thanksgiving started right when the goods were delivered. As soon as the man was healed, he shouted out. He praised God. He glorified the name of God. And immediately, without even making it the journey to Jerusalem to go to the temple and speak to the priests, he turns around, what seems pretty quick, and goes right back to Jesus, the one who gave him that healing. In the storyline, it's pretty dramatic. We find out this isn't just some Jewish person who grew up hearing clear promises of the Messiah, someone who understood the temple worship and all the sacrifices. As it turns out, this wasn't even someone who might claim Jesus as his own ethnicity or his own nationality. This turns out to be a foreigner, a Samaritan. A beautiful thing for people who might not have Jewish blood, who might be Gentiles, to see that Jesus even heals lepers who are Samaritan. And Jesus was there to remove the sickness of leprosy. Can you imagine what that would be like? Because of Jesus, the man could now integrate into society. He could go back to his family. You can imagine the surprise on their faces. This man could go and hug his wife for the first time in maybe many years. He could play catch with his father and his son. He could carve the turkey. He could sit down and watch the ball game and take that multi-generational nap in front of the TV in his living room. Okay, that's maybe what he would do in our time. But you see where I'm going here. You see the thanksgiving that this man had. And this is the kind of thanksgiving that outlasts just that life debilitating illness. It's a thanksgiving that knows God and what he's done for the case of sin. And for the disease of sin that in many ways is a lot like leprosy. Sin affects the whole body. Sin is contagious. How often haven't we seen someone sin and desire it for ourselves? Sin is a threat to the community. And sin is incurable unless you have someone like Jesus Christ. Only one like Jesus Christ who shows mercy. And so he said thanks and glorified God. But this is just one man out of 10. Now, no one said there would be math, but that's not pretty good odds, is it? It's pretty sad. Only one out of the 10 came back to say thank you to Jesus. We might join our hearts with Jesus and say, well, what happened here? Where are the other 9? Don't they know a good thing when they see it? What happened to their faith and their trust that Jesus would heal them? We might call it thanklessness. We might call it ingratitude. Some people have said ingratitude involves actually 2 sins. The first is lying, and the second is cheating. You lie and take the credit for yourself, and then you cheat God and pretend away that you might possibly owe him anything. Now, there's no way to repay this Savior Jesus. There's no way to get at his grace with works. But to leave out thanksgiving fails to acknowledge and credit God. Thanklessness would undo the very reason God gives things to sinners. Thanklessness disrupts this connection that we call faith. Jesus wants sinners to live. And that's good reason for all of our sinning thanksgiving. And so, friends, as I search my heart, I love the notion that maybe I'm like the one leper, clean and ready to come back and say thank you to Jesus. But as I search my heart, what I find is that more often, I'm more like the other 9. I'm more often thankless for everything God's placed in my hands and over my head and in my home and alongside me and surrounded me with all of his love. I find that I'm affected not with leprosy, but with sin that can persist even when leprosy doesn't, with doubts that come from sin, and finally plagued with the threat of death as the wages of sin. I sometimes feel like I've merely bagged up all God's gifts and sort of dragged them off and pretended away the giver. And that sin weighs heavily on the heart. So, as if I were one of the 9, I got to ask, what happened to them? Where are they, as Jesus asked? Did Jesus not know? Did Jesus not realize the power of his miracle? Does he need to see it for himself? Absolutely not. But he certainly directs our attention to what it means to be without thanks. And so here's what I hope. Here's what I pray. Is that maybe those 9 made it to Jerusalem, got inside the temple, got to speak to one of those priests, and were inspected and proved to be clean. And I hope that as they washed their clothes and shaved off all their hair, eyebrows included, and bathed at the beginning of the week and at the end of the week, that they had some time to reflect and started thinking more thankfully towards God. And that they really meant it. I hope they really meant it when they put those 2 lambs together with the flour and the olive oil and completed that sacrifice and became clean, free men. But this is what's more important to me. I hope that the 9 have made their way here tonight. That's what I hope happened to the other 9. Because I know that you have sins of thanklessness too. I know there's things, enormous events in your life when your first thought was not, oh, I got to thank Jesus. And I know that there are times when you got caught in your sin and you maybe hid from Jesus simply because thanks was too much to bear because of your guilt. Friends, sometimes thanks comes out of repentance, which is a crushed heart under the cross, but also a heart that looks to the cross and has faith and trusts this Savior who can forgive all our sins and heal all our diseases. I hope that tonight the nine have made it here just for a chance to have an audience, a hearing with the Son of God. If in some small way you might help uplift his divine honor, you might shout out, "Thanks be to God." You might sing it, because in so many different ways he's baffled us when he gave and gave and gave to little insignificant you. To God alone be the glory. Amen.